Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
It's great to be here tonight. Please take your Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. Wonderful singing tonight. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. I certainly appreciate the wonderful opportunity to be here this evening. Matthew, please, chapter 18. Just out of respect of God's word, let's all stand together tonight, please. Matthew chapter 18. Before I get into the message and be hasting tonight a little bit, I do want to just say thank you to, first of all, to our Savior and what a great, great work He has done here in this city. Second of all, to Lancaster Baptist Church. Then, to West Coast Baptist College. A preacher is right when he said, I have two sons that have graduated from here. Then I had two daughters that graduated from here. And then we added two daughters-in-law that graduated from here. And then he mentioned a future son-in-law, maybe. I still believe in those dowries where they paid the dad money, and we're still in the negotiation business right there, and amen. Well, that's all I need to say tonight. I'm ready to go home, so. I want to say this unreservedly, I love Pastor Chappell. Sometimes when a church grows, you just expect certain things. Sometimes you forget. Sometimes where you came from. I remember preaching the Baptist Buffet, the upper room of the old building. I'm not on this campus, the other building, Mr. Chappell. And you could preach there and lose 10 pounds, not even trying to do it. Amazing. Everyone needs to drive by that building and say, thank God. Thank God. I love the Chappell family. It's been quite a year for them. I hope you haven't left that prayer closet. I hope that prayer list has not changed. To uplift a pastor's wife daily, bathing in prayer, say, God, strengthen her. A son. Thank God for miracles. Pray for him. Don't ever give up. Family, all the entire family. When a church first gets started, you really acknowledge the pastor and love the pastor. And sometimes it just happens, you just become used to him. And I pray this great church, this great ministry, always take good care of pastor and his family. Would you look at Matthew chapter 18, please? I'm going to read the first six verses for you. I don't know if Jesus himself has used any more pungent speech than he has in this chapter. We will not read all of it. Yet in chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, please follow along. The Bible says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I think that bothered Jesus. I think it kind of set Jesus in a different array that night. In fact, I know because the way he spoke and the words he used. Yet they had the audacity to stand before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and ask him, I wonder who will be the greatest. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst thereof them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Those are 33 pretty stout rewards. Now he becomes that pugnant species. Listen to what he says. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Does it ever bother you sometimes the way Jesus states certain things? I just don't want to actually visualize Jesus saying these words and picturing a large millstone and a noose around someone's neck and throw them into the pond. Yeah, that's how much he thought about a child. Entrusting a child in someone's care. It's pretty important to him. But I want you to notice a statement that Jesus made in verse number 3. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." Now he's talking to the disciples here. "Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Father in heaven, I ask tonight that you would now use this earthen vessel as a voice. Father, may you speak through this vessel. I understand there's great anticipation from those who stand behind me about tomorrow. I likewise understand with the many parents and travelers here, there's much anticipation about that which is yet to come. But Father, you find some way to have them listen. For truth is needed this night, please do so. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are probably two words that all of us have heard. And I'll address this crowd for a moment. For the some near 20 years life around that you've been growing up. Moms and dads have said it. Friends have said it. Teachers and peers and coaches have said it. And I guarantee you, your brothers and sisters have told you, especially the older ones. Those two words are simply the words, grow up. You've heard it. Grow up. Good night. Just grow up. Amazing how many times in these amount of years we've heard those words. Quit being a baby. Quit acting like a kid. Quit being a child. Grow up, boy. Grow up, girl. They all said it. Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. In fact, just the opposite. "Except ye be converted," reverting back to that of a child, three great things, he says, "you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, you will not become great in the kingdom of heaven, and nor will you be like me, Christ-like, and receive me." Isn't it amazing that Jesus refutes those words, grow up, grow up. This is not a mere suggestion either. Do you understand that? In fact, he uses very imperative and declarative words. When he uses these words, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted like unto this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." This was not just a sideline conversation. This was a declaration made by Jesus Christ himself. And what he's saying here very plainly, he says, unless your entire outlook toward me is that of a child, you're not going to make it. Grow up. Tonight, may I challenge you? No, don't grow up. Don't grow up. Man, I don't know about you, I love being a kid. There was a man named Art Linkletter. Yeah, I reached your crowd, I could tell. He became rich and famous simply listening to little children. I think his show was called Little kids say the, no, oh my goodness things. We're fundamentalists. Don't use that other word. The kids are great. They bring so much joy. They bring so much fun. I had a habit when I leave my office to try to go by every single facet of our church. And I used to go to my office and turn to the right. And I go down to the nurseries and I just wave to the nursery workers. And I go to the 2 and 3 year olds and I stick my head in there and wave to all of them. They run up there. I get to go ahead and pat all their hands and rub their heads. And I remember going down to the 4 and 5 year old department. And I stood at the door and the teachers are so good. They would say, "Pastor's here, pastor's here." And it just happened to be a young little black boy and he's about 5 years of age. He ran right to the front of the line. And he goes, "Pastor, pastor," he says, "I saw you this morning." I said, "You saw me this morning? I saw you on TV this morning." I said, "You did? We have a local telecast." And he says, "I saw you on TV this morning." And boy, he is so excited. So I want to be excited with him. I got right down on my knees like this right here. I looked him in the eyes. I said, "So you saw me this morning?" He said, "I sure did." He says, "Did you see me?" And Brother Chapel, I hate lying before I go to the pulpit, but I did not know what to tell that 5-year-old little boy that was so excited about seeing his pastor on TV. And when he asked that question, "Did you see me?" I looked right back at that little boy and said, "I sure did. I saw you." He said, "Well, it looked like you were looking right at me." Hey, I was. Oh, I love the joy of a child. So much joy and so much fun. Till they're your own children. I was in the store one day, not that I'm looking at you, but me, at this hair product called Rogaine. And my daughter said, "You don't need Rogaine, you need Regaine, Dad. That's what you need." I was standing at the Safeway grocery market, and Magdalene happened to be with me, and I just happened to have it was a time when they're in a double-breasted suit, and I had a new suit on. I was standing there, and an older black lady came up to me, and she goes, "Woo, woo, nice suit." What are you supposed to say to an older black lady who says you have a nice suit? You know, just, "Yeah, yeah, that's all right, all right." I grab my daughter in. I look at her. I said, "Honey, don't worry. It's the man that makes the suit." And she said, "Who made your suit?" So I took a little Maggie over the side. And we had a powwow. I did the powwow and she did the wowing. Amen, you know. I love kids. Like every bit of it. I'm not sure how I survived as a child. We had no childproof lids. We had no childproof locks. My mama laid me on my tummy on a blanket that's probably filled with lead paint. We had no car seats. We had no seat belts. In fact, it was a treat for us. We got to ride in the back of the pickup just waving our hands in the air. I can't believe we made it. We wore our baseball caps riding the bike, no helmet. And we survived. We drank from a garden hose and not from a bottle of bottled water. In fact, the big word around us was swig. "Hey, man, can I have a swig?" "Sure, here's one." And he passed it to him, passed it. 6 different people drink out of 1 Coca-Cola bottle. And we made it through it. In fact, we ate white flour cupcakes, and we had real butter. Slap on the bacon if you can. Biscuits and gravy. Kool-Aid with white sugar. And you know something? We lived. And we weren't even overweight. Played outside all day long, never told our folks where we were, and they didn't care. I mean, growing up as a kid was a blast. Made our own toys. There's probably not a man here that not make his own go-kart. And boy, you made that go-kart. After about 3 tries down the hill, you learn how to make brakes. We had no PlayStations, Nintendos, Xboxes, no 150-channel cable TV, no iPod, CDs, DVDs, internet, or cell phones, but we still knew how to get along because we went outside and found each other. We got disciplined. We got scolded. We got spanked. And that was by our neighbor's dad. That's true. Man, you went home, it's double jeopardy. Man, you got in trouble at school, you got whooped at home. Let me tell you something else. A woodshed had an entirely different meaning back in those days. The dear lady knows what I mean, doesn't she? Amazing. I love being a kid. Disrespect authority. Unthought of. Never. We were taught that you did not even speak as adults were speaking. In fact, we were taught that if adults were in the room and talking, you did not enter into the room. Brother Rule, did you ever back talk your dad? One time. What happened? I don't remember. Oh, the joy of a child, the pleasure of a child, the fun of a child. A young Sunday school teacher had a new class of 5 years old, and she's trying to teach them how to be respectful for church as they got into the main service. And she's teaching the little children how to be quiet in church. And she says, now, do you know why we're quiet in church? And the little girl raised her hand right away. She goes, oh, she must have the answer. Why are we so quiet in church? Because people are sleeping, that's why. A little daddy was walking the beach and trying to teach his four-year-old son a little bit about nature. And he's talking about the mightiness of God and the sunrise and sunset and the mighty ocean. And they came across a dead seagull. The little boy looked down at the dead seagull and said, Daddy, what happened? His dad, not knowing exactly what to say, he says, he died and went to heaven. Oh, well, why did God throw him back? I hate to say this, but it's true. I did not have ambition as a child, like to go to Bible college and, you know, get through school and to be one of the top five preachers. And, when I was growing up, I lived for candy. Well, I know you're the new generation, but candy, well, we just lived for candy. I mean, you found out who had the candy. You went and pestered them all you could to get the candy. I mean, watch this. You go up and say, how do I get candy? It's like a drug addict today, you know. How do I get candy? And then one time a year, you walk next door and just say a few little words, you know, and they give you, and don't get on me about Halloween, okay? I don't worship the devil. I just restock my candy supply, okay? And so, you just said a few words to got a bag there, but someone made these stupid masks you had to wear, and they had that stupid little gray rubber band that went around that worked one time, you know, and, but you know, live for candy. That was everything.
Being a kid.
Remember saying it? My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad's bigger than your dad. My dad can beat up your dad. One little boy said, that's nothing. My mom beats up my dad. But I like hearing those words. My dad is the strongest, and my dad is the smartest, and my dad is the biggest, and my dad can do anything. Oh, I love those kids.
But I love being a dad even more. And that's what he's teaching. Listen. That's what Jesus Christ was teaching.
See, Jesus, God, the Father, he likes being the Father. He likes being God. He likes being almighty. And he said, look, except ye convert your whole entire outlook to be like a child, I'll never be to you what you need me to be. I want to be a dad. I want to be a father. So here's the question. Are you a kid to God? Are you a kid to God? Does he enjoy you like a child? Does he enjoy you like a little one? Does he enjoy you like my daddy's bigger than any daddy, and my daddy's stronger than every daddy, and my daddy can do everything? Or have we grown up? And the master teacher said these words, except ye be converted to be like this little child, ye shall never enter the kingdom of heaven, and nor shall ye be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and nor shall ye really receive me or be like Jesus Christ. Have we stopped being a kid to God? Is your Heavenly Father the greatest? Is your Heavenly Father the smartest? Is your Heavenly Father the strongest? Is your Heavenly Father can do anything or maybe all things? Is He omnipotent? Is your Father omniscient? Is your Father almighty? Is your Father God? That's all He wants to be, is God. What a Father. What a Father. My Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the richest of them all. My Father has all the silver and all the gold are His. He's the richest of them all. And my Father spake the worlds into being. And my Father sets the moon. My Father rises the sun. And my Father parted and painted the mountains. And my Father flung the heavenly chandelier of stars in the sky. And my Father hung the world on nothing and told to stay there. And you'll find that in Job 26 and 7. And my Father, He's just my God. He's everything. Hey, don't grow up. He wants you to be a child. Don't get smarter than Him. Don't get so strong you can do it yourself. Well, now you're getting it. Don't question His authority. That's what He said. That's what He said. I like when you think I can do everything. I like when you think I can get you through Bible college. And just the same will get you in the ministry. I like when you build a church. I like when you build a ministry. I like when you follow a pastor. I like when you just got on board and did what you're supposed to do. I like that kid in you. Don't grow up. Do you know that God never really called Jesus the co-God? That's my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As I believe that Jesus, that Son of God, every morning he woke up and said, hey, Dad, hey, Father, I can't wait to spend time with you. Oh, I need you. Oh, you're everything. I can do nothing without you. Oh, God the Father loved Jesus Christ because He was His child. Have we left that? When we pray this morning, we counsel God? Do we help him out a little bit? Remind him when our bills were due? Like before I get a diploma, can I please get my bill paid so I don't open that thing up and it's blank? In fact, listen. In Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus Christ was at his ultimate of preaching, 7 times he called them Pharisees and hypocrites. 4 times he called them a snake in the grass. He called them blind people. And in the midst of Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus Christ was at the zenith of rebuking these religious followers, here's what he said. And don't call anybody else Father. Isn't that good? God just wants to be, I'm not being disrespectful, God just wants to be Dad. The strongest dad, the mightiest dad, the smartest dad, the dad that can do anything. He says, please don't grow up. Please don't grow up. Oh, we grew up way too fast sometimes. Graduates, may I just say this? After everyone else told you to grow up, Brother Rules and I can just try them on. Don't grow up. Please don't grow up. Don't get smarter than God, and don't get ahead of God, and don't analyze God, and don't question God. Don't grow up. May I tell you something better? For the last 4 years of your life, you've enjoyed one of the greatest heavenly playgrounds that there is in America and the world today. Because there's a bunch of young Christians out here, and older yet young Christians out here, that really believe the leadership of Brother Chapel, that they can still change the world. Can you believe that? Not a better place to be. Oh, thank you, Lancaster Baptist Church, for having a childlike faith, a childlike obedience, a childlike, you don't care what's going on. All you want to do is do what God tells you. My hat's off to you, Lancaster Baptist Church. Thanks for not growing up. Yeah, the pastor said we can change the whole town. Let's go for it. He said, well, how are we going to do that? We have a God. What happened? What happened? It's kind of like going to bed at night. Ever try to put a 5-year-old child to bed? What? Bed? Why? I'm not sleepy. I still have energy. Why is it when mom and dad get tired, the kids have to go to bed? I never understood that. I mean, there's daylight hours. Come on. Bed. We need to get to bed. We don't need to go to bed. Come on. You know, who needs sleep? Is way overrated. Boy, Brother Chapel knows that, doesn't he? I mean, children hate going to bed, and then they can't wait to wake up. And then they become like us. And we can't wait to go to bed, and we don't want to get up. Do you know when you stop being a kid? When you stop growing. God wants, no, God demands a childlike faith and a childlike trust, a childlike obedience, a childlike joy, a childlike love. I'm surprised God hasn't killed us all so far. That's what we do. Child starts acting older than he's supposed to be. We want to take him outside and whoop him. Can I help you tonight? Would you follow God like a child? Listen, would you follow God like a child? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Follow me as I follow Christ. As the followers begin to explore a little farther neighborhood. You know how little children are. They got the playpen, then they got the room, and then they got the house, and then they got the backyard, then they got the yard, then they got the made cul-de-sac out front, then they got the block, and pretty soon they're getting out there a little bit. And a wise dad will take his child, his son and daughter, may walk down the next block, may walk down the next block, may go down that third block away from the house, and you look down that little girl of yours, and you say, do you know where you are? No. Do you know how to get home? No. Aren't you afraid? No. As long as I hold your hand, you know where we live. Are you that child holding the Father's hand with a childlike following? Not only would you follow him like a child, would you love him like a child? There's no doubt in my mind, I've sang this song thousands of times. Sang it this morning. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. Sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because you first loved me. I get into a, oh, I love you, Father. Yes, I love you, Father. Oh, I love you, Father, because you first loved me. I've heard all the time, Brother Tim, Brother Rule, you can't sing very well. He doesn't say that. He loves every time I call him out and say, God, I just want to tell you something. I just want to tell you I love you. If my people which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Morning, Father. Looking forward to today. Good to see you, son. What do you need, son? Nothing. What's that? I don't want anything. Just want to spend time with you. I didn't come for your hands. For what you could give me. Come to seek your face. To spend time with you. Do you know what every earthly father here would feel if your son, 17 years of age, came to you and said, Dad, can we take a walk? What do you want to take a walk for? I just want to spend some time with you, Dad. You know what God is teaching us here? To follow as a child. To love as a child. Last, may I finish quickly tonight, to trust as a child. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and not unto thy own understanding. We sang the song tonight. I love those affirmations. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We were given a vacation this year. And we had planned one, and Maggie was traveling home to go to camp, 20 years at camp. She never missed a camp, so she was traveling home. And in her travel, she had a car accident. And about 70, 75 miles an hour, she had a guardrail, and they took her to the hospital. We left camp and came down, and in the hospital, I want to say 4 days. And nevertheless, the camp had gathered all together, all the 30 churches or whatever, and they said, thank you for 20 years of camp. We'd like to see you on vacation. I had planned my vacation. I had gotten tickets to Florida. Going to go see Brother Gibbs and car rental and hotel, all this stuff. I did not know my son had canceled all the tickets and things like that. And the camp had got together and they wanted to send us to Hawaii. I'm not sure where all that money went. I have not talked to my son about all that stuff yet. And so we were very blessed and we had a vacation in Hawaii. And I'll tell you about one little incident. We found a little remote place on the side over here where they said you can kind of get away from everybody and go snorkeling. It was myself, my wife, my two daughters, Magdalene and Natalie. We went and rented all the high-end gear, you know, for $2.50. And we found that little remote place. And it's kind of like a lava cap. And it's on a big island, not very well populated there. And so we saw this little cove over here. So I got my wife over there and I got Natalie over there and I was over there and we're getting in and things like that. And so I got in, I looked over here and I saw Maggie sitting on the rocks by herself. She had her hands facing her hands and she's looking down and I thought, I'm not sure what happened. So I took off those fins. I walked across the rocks and she had tried to get in there and the current pushed her up against the coral on the reef and boy, it scraped her hand on this side, and had blood here, and on this side, inside of her leg and her shin, and she was not doing well. I felt so horrible. Kind of helped take her fins off and grabbed her mask and a snorkel and kind of grabbed her up the very best I could, and I walked her all the way over to this nice little, you know, Grandpa Cove, you know, where I was, and I remember helping her put her fins on and getting her mask and snorkel ready to go. I said, let me just hold you and I'll just get in the water so the water can't push you. I remember getting in the water and as the waves come, we were fine. One step is 20 foot water and we're fine. But I remember as we went out there, I just put my hand on her back about the next 20 minutes. 2 or 3 days after the vacation, I get this card. Maggie. Dad, I want to thank you for vacation. She could have said the beautiful room or, boy, the great dining and the wonderful time together and all the other stuff. Everything was amazing. But I must say there are one of those memories I know I'll never, never forget. Like the moment you kept your arm around me when we went into the ocean, after those rocks hit me, what a kid. You know what God wants to do to you tonight? He just wants to put his arm around you and take care of you. He's the Father. Well, I know I can do it myself. That's the problem. And can I simply ask Lancaster Baptist Church, don't ever grow up to where young people like this come and think you did it and not him. Just follow like a child. Love like a child. And trust like a child.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.